So 1 John, and that will be our meditation for this evening. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that they may be fellow workers for the truth, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. Let's pray and ask God to bless his word this evening. Our Father, open our eyes that we may see wondrous things from your word, from your law. Give us help by the Holy Spirit, we ask, through Christ Jesus. Amen. The theme of my message this evening for us is simply lessons about church life and missions from 3 John. Lessons about church life and missions from 3 John. You've probably heard the phrase, short and sweet, or keep it short and sweet. Well, when you come to the book of 3 John, that's exactly what you have. That's exactly what it's like. But sometimes straightforward words and examples can teach us some very valuable Christian truth. Because although this book of the Bible is short, the more you concentrate upon it, this small book, the more valuable nuggets of Christian truth, of Christian life and Christian church life and even missions begin to surface as you begin to study more carefully. And so for our meditation this evening, we'll look at some lessons about church life and missions from the book of 3 John. Now, for you kids, if you could look up here just a minute, Miss Peggy gave this to me a while back, but this is a papyrus right here, a papyrus piece of paper, okay? And it's a little small, what I'm showing you this evening, than what probably the Apostle John wrote the book of 3 John on. His piece was probably about 25 centimeters by 20 centimeters. And so maybe that's why it was such a short book. He just had one little piece of paper, and on that piece of paper, he wanted to write to his mentee in the faith, Gaius, things and truths and a few thoughts, because he hoped to come and see him very soon. So, if you will, he had to fit it all on one page, as it were. And so the Apostle John will also follow a number of the normal customs of the time in writing an epistle. However, he does leave out the greeting, greeting, as the Apostle Paul did, the grace and mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But as one writer says, he kind of makes up for it by how he ends the book with his commendation, peace be to you. So we might think that it's like an email almost, or a short text that's being sent out to this dear one that's so precious to the Apostle John. The Apostle John doesn't say that he is the writer, but if we look at all of the evidence that is out there, and we won't go into that this evening because we don't have the time, church scholars and such believe that the Apostle John wrote this book. And so he simply addresses Gaius as the elder. Probably everyone knew the Apostle John. This is near the end of the first century, and so he's writing to his friend. It's probably written right around the end of the first century. Some commentators have even wondered if 2 John and 3 John are either written to the same church or the same little group of churches, such that maybe like if the letters were coming, 2 John and 3 John, maybe to the Mebane or Alamance County kind of area. So that gives you just a little bit of background as we get started into the book of 3 John. So we'll be going back and forth to the text to kind of dig out some nuggets and praying that it'll be a blessing to you. The first thing that we want to think about this evening, if you're taking notes, is that we see first John's love for Gaius, a window into Gaius's true character. John's love for Gaius, a window into Gaius's true character. For those of us this evening, the three of us that are your pastors, we want you to love the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want your life to shine, your character to shine before this world, to be light and to be salt, to have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him. And what John wanted and what he saw in the life of Gaius was just this, someone who was living out the Christian life in the place in which the Lord had put him. John had been a mentor for this man, Gaius. Maybe he had been one that John had discipled. Notice how John even says, "I rejoice to see my children walking in the truth." And apparently John had a significant influence on this man's life, maybe even bringing him to Christ. And so even this evening, as we begin this message, is there a particular individual who shared the gospel with you and who discipled you and built you up in God that you look to even now and remember fondly as one who was building you up in the faith? Well, that would be the relationship that we would be thinking about between Gaius and between the Apostle John. And so in this very short epistle, we get a flavor of what Christian mentorship and discipleship can be like. And so I'd like to highlight several points of what discipleship can be like in the life of the mentor to the mentee. And you'll find them very easily just on the verses of the text. The first big point about mentorship or discipleship that we see in this example of John, and that we can follow as we disciple others or as we are being discipled, is just the fact of the letter itself. John wants to and intends to come to visit Gaius and to spend time with him, but he can't do it yet. He's there in Ephesus. He has some kind of ministry. He has some kind of responsibility. And so instead what John does is he sends this brief note, and it's just short. But it shows his love, it shows his intentions, it shows his desire that that Gaius would walk in the truth, and it's just an expression of his love for his dear brother. Look at verse 2. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. The second thing that we see in the life of John as he writes this epistle to Gaius is just the love that the Apostle John had. When there's a disciple-lee, a discipler relationship, there can be a very deep love between the two individuals. And one of the commentators that I read said that if you take about the first 14 or 20 Greek words, love is mentioned like four times. Notice verse 1, whom I love in the truth. Verse 2, beloved, I pray for you. Verse 5, beloved. Verse 11, beloved. John's not just throwing words around. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit. He's saying to Gaius, I love you. You're special to me. You mean a lot to me. I remember the relationship that we had one towards the other when I was able to share the gospel with you and when we were able to be together. He calls him beloved four times. And he makes the point that it's a biblical love. It's a love that's founded in the truth and that is sincere, which is very different in contrast from Diotrephes, who we'll see a little bit later in the epistle. Look over at 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, if you will. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. As we think about this love and the effect of truth and love. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. The next point between this relationship between the Apostle John and Gaius is one of happiness or one of joy. The Apostle John rejoices over this one that he's discipling. He loves him. He wants him to prosper in his health, even though he knows that he is prospering in his soul. He says that in verse 2. I just read that. I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. He's saying that spiritually, Gaius is doing really well, but maybe physically, he's not doing so well. Maybe he's got some ailment. He's got some health issue. And so I spent some time reading in Matthew Henry, and I want to take just a few minutes to read this quote from Matthew Henry in that it might minister to some of you, the Lord's people. Matthew Henry has almost a humorous quote when he says, listen, grace and health are two rich companions. Grace will improve health, and health will employ grace. It frequently falls out that a rich soul is lodged in a crazy body. Now, we laugh, and you young people have a kind of a definition of crazy. But I looked up the 1600s definition of crazy, and the word crazy back then actually meant this, that it was crushed, that it was broken, that it was sickly, the idea of even cracks or flaws in a piece of pottery. So you can see what Matthew Henry is saying, that we may be walking with God, we may have His grace and His mercy and His favor in our lives, and yet our bodies may very much not agree, and we may have weakness. And I think as you, as the Lord's people, even this evening, you and I, we feel that, don't we, very much. Matthew Henry goes on and he says, grace must be exercised in submission to such a disposition, but we may well wish and pray that those who have prosperous souls may have healthful bodies too. Their graces will shine in a larger sphere of activity. So that's another area that the Apostle John desires for this dear friend. Then notice the next thing that the Apostle John is, he prays for this mentee, this disciple. Notice that if you look into the text, how he is praying for him. He says in verse 3, I rejoice greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you're walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers. And then up in verse 2, he's saying, beloved, I pray for you that all may go well with you. The Apostle John has Gaius in his mind as he's having his prayer times in his closet. And when you have that relationship between the mentee and the mentor or the one who's discipling, that person just comes up to your mind again and again, and you want to pray for them. You want them to be strong in God. You want them to walk in the truth. Now think about it this afternoon. To be on the prayer list of the Apostle John, the one who was with the Lord Jesus so closely, the one who was there even at the cross, the one who's been ministering for all these years, who's seen the gospel go in all those places, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost parts of the earth. And then to be on the prayer list of the Apostle John, how that must have encouraged Gaius. Fifthly, we notice that there was a familiarity with his life. John keeps up with Gaius. And so, as this report has come from evangelists who've been in the church and they've gone back up to Ephesus, they've heard that this dear brother is doing well and it's encouraged him. And finally, as you've been hearing me say in different ways and in different pieces, because John has his own organizational structure, he says that this dear brother is walking in the truth of Christ. He's walking in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just talk that the Apostle John says about Gaius, but he's actually someone who is practicing what he is believing. And you could go to 1 John chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 4, and 2 John to see those truths borne out. And so we've got this example of discipleship and mentorship, and I would just highlight that to each of us this evening, to engage in discipleship with those that are around us, to build them up in the Lord, to begin to have deeper relationships one with the other, even as the Apostle John did with Gaius, and also to receive discipleship from those that are around us. But then what the Apostle John is he's been saying all these things, and then he focuses down on the type of particular ministry that this man Gaius had, and that is Gaius's hospitality. Look at verses 5 through verse 7. Beloved, it's a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Gaius was a faithful man to God, and how that must have brought encouragement to the Apostle John. But what had especially happened in the life of Gaius is that he had been faithful in keeping these traveling evangelists, these traveling pastors and teachers, as they had come to the region. Notice that the word efforts is used in the text. And the idea of that Greek word is the idea of manufacturing or laboring. And so you can see Gaius and his family working and laboring and making sure that the evangelists, that those that are traveling, are taken care of. These were ministers of the gospel that would come from other regions. They didn't have a place to stay. They didn't have any food, and they might not have any money. The area and region could be very dangerous and not safe. And so it would require the believers to house these ones into their own home and take on their personal good as their own. It even would mean that the leader of the house would even escort them to further part of the city, a safer part of the city or a safer part of the road, so that they could get on to the next place that they needed to go. Well, this had been the working out of love of Gaius, is that he had kept these workers for the Lord. That message had gone back to John, and it had just thrilled John's heart to see this man of God living for the Lord in such a concrete way, ministering to other disciples of Jesus Christ. And so then what the Apostle John does is says, I've been able to count on you in keeping these evangelists and teachers. And so now more evangelists and teachers are going to be coming, and I'm asking you guys, just receive them the same way as you have been. Have them come into your house. In fact, he goes and says what? Send them out or escort them out in a manner worthy of God. What a powerful statement the Apostle John is making here. He's saying that one whom we serve and I serve, those that were recognized to the brothers and sisters as workers in the Lord Jesus Christ, they needed Gaius to act on their behalf. Gaius was not to resent them. He was instead to welcome them. He was to use his resources and his home for the good of these that were ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth as it is in God and in Jesus Christ should constrain him to act for them and to help them on their way. Look over at 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 23 and 24. Listen to what's said here by the Apostle John here. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandment abides in God, and God in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit who he has given to us. Gaius was to keep these workers in a manner worthy of God. We remember what Jesus said in Matthew 25 when he said, as much as you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. So John's love, John's walking in the truth, was acting on the behalf of these good and gospel workers. And so we can make the application this evening, brethren, that Christian hospitality is the call of the Christian. Jesus gives us these words, freely you have received, freely you have given, you should give. Romans chapter 12, verse 13 says the same thing. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Hebrews 10, verse 34, have compassion on those in prison, accepting the plundering of your property. Opening our hearts and homes takes sacrifice, but will greatly be rewarded. And that's what dear Gaius was doing in this text. Well, if you go back to 3 John, John adds in verse 8 a very, very powerful remark and comment, verses 7 and verse 8. In verse 7, he says this, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Now, this gets at the very heart of what this epistle of John is after. These dear ones that Gaius was taking into his home, they had gone out for the sake of the name. They had taken the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation to peoples and to places that had never heard of Christ, that had never believed, that had never trusted in him. And so they couldn't rely on anyone in those cities or in those places. And I'm sure our brothers know that very well. There were frauds and there were false teachers that were out there as well who might be promoting some false god or trying to get money. But there were true gospel teachers that were going from place to place with the message of salvation. They were proclaiming, as Acts 4 verse 12 said, neither is there salvation in no other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we may be saved. And so these brothers were taking the message of salvation. They were taking the Great Commission. And so they, as they went out for the sake of the name, they needed a place to stay. And so Gaius was the place. Gaius' home would be the place where they would stay and they would receive strength and support. They had gone out for the sake of the name to proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't have the luxury of hotels. They didn't have places where they could stay, and so they could trust that this brother Gaius would be able to take them in and to supply them with all of their needs. Two quick points quickly as we begin to wrap up our meditation this evening. The next thing that the Apostle John does is give some lessons from this man Diotrephes. Diotrephes was another leader or worker in this church, and it seems that John had already written to the church about him. He was someone who was not accepting the believers and the leaders. He was someone who was putting out some in the church because they were housing believers. And so John says that when he comes, he's going to speak to Diotrephes and he's going to take the matter in hand. And he wants Gaius not to be infected by the evil words, by the toilsome speech, by the harassing words that this man has been using. This verbal attitude resulting in refusing to welcome other Christians who were serving the truth. The next big lesson in the book of 3 John is this man named Demetrius. And you find Demetrius mentioned in verse 12. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. It's kind of like John just puts Demetrius in the text, as it were, and you're not exactly sure, except that maybe Demetrius was the one who was bringing the letter with him. And so John is singling him out as someone who is trustworthy, someone who the church can have confidence in. The last thing that's always looked over, it seems like, in these epistles are the last words from verses 13 through 15. These commendations, these greet the friends, these kind of relationship kinds of statements. But I want to pull them out just a little bit as we close, and I want you to think about what the Apostle John is saying. And to show my little graphic here, you might say that John's at the very end of his piece of paper, if you will, and so he's adding just a few thoughts before he must close. It's like he's got just a little bit left to say. John wants to be with Gaius, And that's a reminder to us that as we think about fellowship in the church, being together with the brethren is the best. Though it's good to write letters, though it's good to have emails and text, face-to-face fellowship is the best. And one of our chief desires is that our brethren would know greater experiential measures of God's peace. And so that's what John says at verse 15. Peace be to you. I want you to know God's peace in your life, Gaius. And then he closes with these words of kinship and warmness to Gaius by saying, the friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. These wonderful friends, the friends that are in Ephesus, those that have been around the Apostle John, they send their greetings. He can't write each of their names down on the little piece of paper, if you will. But he just says, they want you to know that they love you and that they're for you in the Lord. The idea of the word here is to draw to oneself. It's a very sweet and it's a very personal word. Well, as we come tonight to just a couple of applications, I want you to learn the value of spiritual mentorship and mentoring. And if you're that discipling someone might be an aim that you might take up as a child of God this evening, or approaching someone else to disciple you. And I think we ought to also come away, as Gaius must have, with a thankful heart for those who have been the spiritual mentors in our lives as well. We just don't know the influence that our lives may have on those who are around us, even as we know that here in our own church. And then also learn the lesson of welcoming and bringing others to yourself. We are a part of spreading the name of Christ crucified to the nations, Christ risen, and his message of salvation, of bringing sinners to himself. And so let us think of how important it is to welcome those that love the Lord Jesus Christ. And finally, we see the value of missions and having a part in God's work, even as Gaius did. And even tonight, we have the opportunity of working and hearing from fellow missionaries and workers who are taking the message of the name to other places. So let's now look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father and our God, how we thank you for your word, how we thank you for this letter of 3 John and for what it teaches us about church life, what it teaches us about the Christian life, and what it teaches us about missions. We pray that you would open our hearts to serve you in all the ways that you put in front of us, and may in the end you receive all the glory. We thank you for those that have mentored us, who have taught us and been with us and cared for us and opened their home for us and ministered. We pray that as we have received, we would also give. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.